We have five new adult classes that were kicked off today, and I can tell you that every corner of the building was being used at Sunday school today, and that excites me. We have a class on finances. It's Classroom A, which is the garage door class. Classroom B is the class in the back of the fellowship hall. That was Roy's class on foundations. You may think that you don't need that class, but I think probably every person in this church would benefit from that class. We have a lot of holes in our theology, and this class will help you connect the dots. It will help you understand, yes, I believe that, but why do I believe it? It will help you. And he starts in Genesis, and he's going through, and Roy's been studying this and putting this together for probably about 6 months. So I just encourage you to get in one of these classes. Marriage class is in Classroom C. That's all the way back on the left before you get to Children's Church. I'm teaching, showing some videos on the Holy Spirit. It's the grad class, but we've opened the class up to anyone that's interested in that. It's going to be about 6 weeks, so you can get in that, or you can continue to stay in here and raise class, either one. We just encourage you to get in a Sunday school class. Sunday school is not for children only. It's for everyone. It is the original small group. It's where you can ask questions, you can learn, and develop your faith together. So, amen. If you would, turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 1. I am flying through the book of Mark. We're still in chapter 1. I think this is about our fourth lesson. And there's 16 lessons in our 16 chapters in the book of Mark. We should be through before the rapture of the church, should he not come before 2022. So I'm hoping that we'll pick up speed a little bit, but there's just so much in this stuff that I want you to get. So Mark chapter 1, verse 21. I met a man one time that he said when he got saved, all he did was read the red letters of his Bible. He thought, I just want to know what Jesus said. And I thought, that's pretty good. That's okay. But as I thought about that more, I thought, oh my goodness, how much you missed. How much you missed. And that's sort of what we want to talk about today. Listen and learn from his actions. Listen and learn from his actions. Mark chapter 1, verse 21. Then they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath he entered the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he had taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Now there was a man in the synagogue with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him and saying, "Be quiet and come out of him." And when the spirit, unclean spirit, had convulsed him and cried out with a loud voice, he came out of him. Then they were all astonished, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority he commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." And immediately his fame spread throughout all the region around Galilee. Father God, we just come before you today, and I just want to say thank you for being here. Lord, I love being in your presence. I value your presence more than anything else on earth. I value you being here. I value the fact that the Holy Ghost is here. Have your way. Have your way in this service. I pray every heart would be touched. I pray that bodies would be healed. I pray that minds would be restored. I'm asking you, Lord, that love would grow, Lord, where it has died. I pray in Jesus, have your way in each one of us. I ask you, Lord, Holy Ghost, to go deep into our hearts today and take the unclean out. Only you can do that. You are the great physician. You are the great surgeon. And I'm asking you to have surgery on us today, Holy Spirit, to take the unclean out. Father God, this is your service. It is about you. It is not about me. It is about you. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. This is a relatively simple sermon. Basically has 2 points. And I know that many of you, as you read this scripture, you're going to think he's going to talk about demon possession today. No, I'm not. Because I don't think that's where I don't think that's what we deal with by and large on an everyday basis. Is it important? It's absolutely important. And you may want to study that. You go ahead. But I just didn't feel the Lord leading me in that way. I am wanting to talk to you about what we see as the casual movements of God, which are very intentional. In other words, if you just read the red letters, you're missing it. Because more things are caught than taught. And we can learn by what Jesus did as well as by what Jesus said. So what's important to Jesus ought to be important to you. And I pray that it is. I want you to know that Jesus, listen to this word, Jesus was very intentional. He was not casual about anything. What do I mean about that? He wasn't flippant. He wasn't like, oh, today is Monday or today is Sunday or whatever. I'm just going to, you know, I'm just relaxing. I'm just doing my own thing. No. He was very intentional on what does the Lord want me to do? What does the Father want me to do today? He spent 40 days in prayer and fasting before making the most important decision of his life, choosing his disciples. If Jesus sought and thought it important to pray and to fast, how come the body of Christ doesn't? I would like for you to consider going on a 21-day fast. I thought I'd hear a... A fast is not just giving up food. Matter of fact, food may not be the thing that has your attention. So then don't fast food. You know what I think some of you should fast? Now this is strictly my point of view. I think some of you ought to fast Facebook. Fasting is not just giving up something, it's replacing something. So whatever you choose, get before the Holy Ghost and just ask Him, Lord, what would you like me to fast for the next 21 days? Would it be food? Maybe just one meal a day. Maybe chocolate. No, dear God, don't ask of me. Sometimes we just give ourselves away, don't we? So whatever that you want to say, I want to put this before the Lord. I just want to give this to the Lord for 21 days. But there should be a time value to it. Because during the time that you used to spend on Facebook, spend it before the Lord. See, the reason we fast food is it takes a lot of the time of our day. By the time you prepare it, by the time you eat it, and by the time you clean up after yourself, you've spent a lot of time there. So if you just skip one meal a day, that might be an hour and a half that you say, okay, God, I'm going to give you this time. This is just me and you for the next 21 days. It's me and you during this time period. So I really would like for you to consider doing that. I would like to see Bridge of Hope as a group go on a 21-day fast. You could do a Daniel fast. A Daniel fast is where you give up meat, go on a vegetarian diet. That would be good for you. Clean your system out and different things like that. I just want to throw that out there. So the very first thing we see, that Jesus was in Capernaum on the Sabbath. So what did he do? What am I supposed to do on the Sabbath? Oh man, he just scratched his head and thought, Father, what is it that you want me to do on the Sabbath? He went to the synagogue. Matter of fact, there's one scripture that says, as his custom was, on the Sabbath, you're going to find Jesus in the synagogue. I think it's strange how the church, the body of Christ, has decided church is optional. If it fits my schedule, I'll be in church. But if it doesn't, you know, maybe there's something better that I can do. I take partly responsibility for that. Maybe I haven't preached this strong enough. Most of the time when preachers preach about church attendance, people think, oh, he's just trying to build a church. No, I'm trying to build you. So let me ask you a question. Can you go to heaven without going to church? The answer is yes. Yes, you can go to heaven. You can be saved and never attend church. This is not a salvation issue. However, it will make your journey much more pleasant. Okay, so is there value in church attendance? Yes, there is. So let's talk a little bit about this, just for a second. First, we grow in community. You don't have to attend church, but this is the way we grow and mature spiritually and physically, emotionally, by attending church. The truth of the matter is Christians that do not attend church, they grow abnormally. This is truth, guys. They grow abnormally because they're not used to being in the community of believers. So sometimes their doctrine gets off, but more times than not, they're just off. They're just a little kooky. Why? Because they haven't grown in community. We need each other. So together we learn to love. See, anybody can say, oh, I love you, I love you, I love you. Oh, get over it. Don't tell me you love me. Show me you love me. There are some very unlovables that come to church. I didn't think you would amen too loud on that one because you're thinking, I might be one of them. But you know what? As we grow together in the body of Christ, we learn to love the unlovables. Why? Because we're becoming like Christ. The fruit of the Spirit begins to come out of us, and we may say, I don't agree with you, but I love you. I want to serve you. I'm going to grow with you together. I used to call them brother and sister sandpaper. They just rub everybody the wrong way, but you get close and you're going to get skinned. But you got to love them. And in the body of Christ, you'll learn how to love those people. So I want to read some scripture to you. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22 through 25, and anybody that knows their scripture knows that if I'm going to talk about going to church, this verse was going to be in here. But three times in this, you're going to see it says, let us, let us, let us. Listen, let us. You get it? Yeah. Look at me. Let us together, let us draw near to God. Not let me. Come on, wake up. You get that? That's different. That's important. It doesn't say let me draw near to God. It says let us as a body, we need to draw together. Draw near to God, he says. With a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, with our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope. I'm believing God for my children to be saved. But I come to church on Sunday night or Wednesday night and I'm thinking, my kids are driving me crazy. They're just reprobates. And somebody beside you says, I'm believing God with you. They're going to be saved. I'm claiming them for the gospel. Let us. You see, I need you because when my faith takes a nosedive, I need you to say, hey man, I'm with you on this one. I've been praying for you on this. I'm standing with you. Let's hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promises faithful, yes, amen, he is. Let us consider one another. Let us consider one another. Boy, that sister's got a sharp tongue, doesn't she? Maybe she's had a bad day. Let us be considerate. Let us walk in love. My mother was the most mercy person that I ever seen in my life. She used to just make me mad that she was such a mercy person. She would not gossip with me about anybody, and it always frustrated me. I'd tell her how somebody was just rubbing me the wrong way, and she always took up for them. Well, Eric, you just don't know what they're going through. You don't know. You don't know their past. You don't know the baggage. You don't know the hurt that they're operating out of. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love. There's the body of Christ. Stirring up love. You know, the body of Christ stirs up a lot of things. You heard that old saying? She's stirring the pot. Well, the pot here is a pot of love. So you stir it all you want to stir it. Right? So we're to stir up love and good works. And good works. Listen to me, Pentecostals. Good works is not just for the Lutheran church or the Presbyterians. Good works ought to happen in the assemblies of God. We ought to be serving our community. Not forsaking the assemblies of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. What day? The day that Jesus comes back again. Can I just say, do you see that day approaching? Absolutely. We ought to be going to church. Church is the place where believers are equipped for service, for ministry. In Ephesians 4, verse 11, he says he gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Why did he give those? For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Let's just stop there. Why are we having church today? To equip you so that you can serve the body of Christ. So that you can serve the city of Paris as Jesus would if he was here. Till we all come to the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to a mature man, to the measure, the stature, the fullness of Christ. That's the maturity that we're trying to grow to. We should no longer be children tossed to and fro about every wind of doctrine. That's why we have a foundational class. We do everything intentionally here. By the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Man, I just spit all over my... There's just way too many deceitful plotting. But speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things. Thank you. Who is the head, from whom the whole body joined together, knit together, and supplying every joint supplies according to the effectual working, which causes every part to do its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Church is where we study the Word of God together. In 2 Timothy 3:15, all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine. This is where Roy, when he teaches his class, if he picks up the book of Josephus and begins to show you doctrine, you ought to leave that class. We don't get our doctrine out of Josephus or out of the Book of Mormon or out of any other book. We get our doctrine from the Word of God. And I guarantee you, Roy will be teaching you out of the Bible. He will be saying, this is where we learn. So we get our, all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God, profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and instruction in righteousness. You notice what three of those are? Come to church where you can get spanked by the Holy Ghost. He's going to straighten you out. I can't tell you how many times I have come to church with a bad attitude and the Holy Ghost knows it. Now, I didn't tell him, but somehow, I think Treva tells him on me, but somehow I got a spanking that day, but he's very gentle. He is very gentle. I'm always amazed at people when they tell me the Holy Ghost said something ugly to them. I'm thinking, you're listening to the wrong spirit. The Holy Spirit is not ugly. Even in His correction, He is not ugly. He is so gentle. He comes to you and He'll say something like this. You know the way you spoke to your wife the other day? And you know immediately. Well, I don't know. I've talked to her all week. No, no. You know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about Thursday night at supper. You said this. Do you think that was good? That's the way the Holy Spirit works. He's talking to you and convicting you at the same time. And then He says something like, what are we going to do about that? I think we need a course correction. Why does He do that? For your benefit. Because He wants to see you grow. He wants to see you healthy. He wants to see you mature to be lovely like Christ is. So this is where we study the Word, and that's what this is all about, teaching the Word of God. Church is where we enter into corporate worship. In Ephesians 5, verse 19 and 20, he says, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with make melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Psalms 100, verse 4 says, enter His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name. I can worship the Lord on my own. Yes, you can. But there is something about getting together with other believers and worshiping together. The corporate worship effect. Let me tell you, I've been in places where there was like 25,000 people lifting their voices before Jesus. There is nothing like that. It amazes me what people are looking forward to in heaven. Oh, I want to see the streets of gold. I want to see the throne. I want to see the pearly gates. I want to hear. It's going to be glorious. When He describes the saints like a sea, a crystal sea, probably more numerous than we can possibly see with our eye, is the saints around the throne lifting their voice in worship. If you don't like worship, you're going to be miserable in heaven. I'm telling you, there's something about lifting. You know, when I stand here and worship, and maybe my day has been a little off, but I hear somebody behind me getting excited about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I look over this way and I see tears dropping off somebody's cheeks as they've got into the presence of God. It does something to me. Corporate worship, there's nothing like it. So attendance to church is very important. It ought to be a priority with you. It was with Jesus. His priorities ought to be your priorities. You see what I'm saying? Let's learn from what looks like His casualness of going down the street. Are you getting that? He didn't say, hey guys, it's Sunday, it's the Sabbath, it's Saturday, it's when they worship. We ought to be in church. He didn't say that. He was a good Jew. He just headed to the synagogue. You got to pick it up. Hey, I want to know His teachings, but I want to know His ways. I want to know His ways. And then as He went into the synagogue, He began to teach. And they began to scratch their head, thinking, come on guys, just get with me for a second. What would you do if Jesus was here talking today? I'll guarantee you'd have pencil and pen out. You would be writing everything down, thinking, oh man. And you wouldn't be sitting all the way in the back. You'd be as close as you could. Because as He walked by, He may just touch your knee. And your life is changed. He said, what's up with this guy? He's not like anybody we've ever heard. He teaches with authority. You see, the other rabbis, when they would come in, they would say, well, Rabbi Abraham says this. And Rabbi so-and-so, he believes this. And Rabbi so-and-so in the distance, you know, he has written an article on this subject. Jesus didn't talk about what the other rabbis said. You see, other rabbis had to be sanctioned by the Sanhedrin, the 70 who ran the synagogue. And they would come in and they'd say, I believe God has called me to be a rabbi. And they would ordain them. Jesus wasn't sanctioned by the Sanhedrin. He didn't go before man to get his credentials. He was credentialed by the Father. And he didn't quote the other rabbis. He was quoting the Father. See, he knew who he was. Oh, for men and women of God who knows their identity in Christ. Philippians chapter 2 verse 6 said, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He knew he was God. I don't have to speak about what somebody else is telling me. I can tell you what I've heard Daddy say. Man, if we get our identity from God, not from a man. Who's your daddy? I'm going to tell you who my daddy is. Who's my daddy is Father God. It's my daddy. When you understand that, you'll understand the authority by which he spoke. It's not something I've been taught. This is not secondhand stuff I'm giving you. This is directly from the throne. The Spirit of God, which is in me, is telling me, giving me revelation that you need this. And he still does it today. The Spirit of God still speaks to us. He still tells us, there's hurts in the church. I want to heal them. I can get a book and I can say, Mark Batterson says this, and there's nothing wrong with that. But I want to tell you what the Holy Ghost says. What's the Spirit of God saying today? Jesus taught with authority because he knew his identity. You cannot have authority until you have identity. Who are you? I'm a child of the King. That stirs me up. Romans 13 says that all authority is given by God. All authority is given by God. Then Matthew 28:18, Jesus spoke these words. He says, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. You see, Adam gave away our authority. See, Adam was born and God gave him the authority on the earth. And he gave it to Satan by his sin. Because a man gave it away, it was going to take a man to get it back. So God in his brilliance said, I need a man God to come to this earth. So he humbled himself and he became a man. The incarnation of God. Mary, what's coming upon you is going to be fertilized by the Holy Ghost. All man, but all God. Why? So that he could die for our sins and return to us the authority of God that Adam lost. He says, all authority has been given. Does this make sense now? When he was in the wilderness and the devil came to him, he says, if you'll just bow to me, I'll give you the kingdom back. Jesus was thinking, I'll get this kingdom back on my own, thank you very much. I've got a different plan. I don't need your help, Satan. I think a lot of you would be well off if you would say, Satan, I don't need your help to succeed in life. I don't have to lie, I don't have to cheat, and I don't have to steal because the Holy Ghost is with me. He will prosper me. All authority has been given to me in heaven and in earth. And the next word he says, now go. And we always concentrate on he is sending us. But what we don't see is the implied message there. He says, all authority has been given to me. Now you go. Because I'm giving you my authority. The same power that I have, you have. Yes. greater works will you do than I have done? How can we do greater works on this earth if we don't have the authority to do it? We have the authority of God. I'll tell you what, this just stirs me up. The very first thing that happened is people didn't know who he was, but demon spirits did. Hey, I know who you are. And Jesus says, shut up and come out of him. I don't need Satan identifying me. I don't need you telling the world who I am. I will tell the world who I am. Shut your mouth and get out of there. Christians get all worked up. I think she's demon possessed. What are we going to do? She's demon possessed. We're going to say, get out of there. It's not a big deal with God, because God is greater. So don't make it a big deal. And quit running around looking for demons at everybody. Good night makes me sick. Well, I think there's a demon in that church. I think there's a demon in that bush. I think there's a demon in my car. I think there's a demon in my refrigerator. That demon's making me eat. I have never read in Scripture where the demons were in things. I think there's a demon in my toilet. It keeps calling to me. Jiminy. The authority of Jesus is in his word. You remember the Roman centurion? He said, hey, I've got a servant sick. And Jesus said, I'll come to your house and pray for him. And he said, there's no need of that. He said, you see, I'm a man of authority. And I say, you go here, and he goes there. He better go there. I say, you do that, and he does it. And I've recognized you're a man of authority. And I recognize that it's not your touch, it's your word. A Roman centurion recognized what the Hebrew disciples didn't. He recognized what most of the church doesn't. That the anointing, the authority is in the word. He sent his word and he healed them. You see, Reinhard Bonnke, the Spirit of God spoke to him. And he said, the word of God that comes out of your mouth is just as powerful as when it came out of Jesus' mouth. The anointing, the authority is on the word. That's the double-edged sword. When it came out of Christ's mouth, now it's coming out of my mouth. And I'm expecting something to happen. We need to exercise our words. Proverbs 18:21 says there's life and death in the power of the tongue. And they that love it shall eat its reward. And do you know, all my life I thought of that. Yes, I love it. I talk way too much and man, am I eating my words. I've always thought of that negatively. I don't think he meant it negatively. I think he says there's power of life and death right here. And if you love it, if you have woke up to this teaching that your words have life and death, and you begin to use it, you begin to use your words to speak life and not death, you're going to love it. God created us with a unique ability that the animals do not have. He called us speaking spirits. Man is a speaking spirit. We create things with the words of our mouth. There's life and there's death. So quit saying, I think I'm dying. I think I'm getting the flu. I think I'm having a kidney stone. Dear Jesus, I repent. I think my wife is leaving me. I think my marriage is crumbling. I think everything around me is dying. I think I'm going to be poor all the days
areas of my life. I think I'm ignorant. I think I'm stupid. I think I'm ugly. And I don't see it changing. Well, it won't. As long as you keep speaking that garbage over yourself, you're going to keep getting the same reward. Change your words. Change your life. Hear the Spirit of God today. Told you a story a long time ago about a guy who smoked. This preacher told him, he said, I can tell you how to quit smoking. He said, how do I do that? He said, I've tried everything. I've been on patches. I've been on drugs. I've tried cold turkey. I've tried it all. He said, I want you, every time you pick up your cigarettes, you say, I'm not addicted to cigarettes. The average guy, what's he smoke? 20 cigarettes a day, at least, a pack a day, if you're addicted to cigarettes. 20 times a day, that guy hit that cigarette, pull it out, light it. I'm not addicted to cigarettes. Smoke his cigarettes. You know, his friends probably thought he was crazy. Don't you? Well, if you're not addicted to cigarettes, why are you smoking? About 6 months went by. He did this diligently every day. Every time he'd take out a cigarette, every time he'd get his lighter, he'd say, I'm not addicted to cigarettes. One day, he pulls his cigarettes out, pops that cigarette out, and said, I'm not addicted to cigarettes. And then he said, well, why am I smoking? He threw it away. His confession took hold. Quit calling yourself ugly. Quit calling yourself stupid. Quit calling yourself a defeat. Quit being a victim. I am so sick of Christians that I know your mama was mean to you. I mean that. I know maybe you've been beat up. Maybe you've been just worked over by society. But at some point in your life, you've got to quit being a victim and say, enough's enough! I won't be a defeated person any longer. Use your words and speak life! Jiminy Christmas. Whoo. John chapter 15, verse 7. Jesus said something that blows my mind. He said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done. How can he make a blanket statement like that, knowing that he's got a bunch of flaky Christians and followers that's going to pick up on this and only see part of it? Oh, I get everything I want. Oh, hallelujah. I'm calling me in a pink Cadillac. Yes, yes, yes. And I'm so sick of people manipulating the gospel of God for things. Oh, it gets sickening. I don't care if you want to be a millionaire, if God called you to be a millionaire, bless you. I hope you get it. I hope you tithe. You miss that. I hope you tithe. I think the wealth of the wicked is stored up for the righteous. I think there's anything wrong with making a confession on that. But if that's where we stop, we're missing it, guys. See, if you abide in me, I believe that means more than I have said the prayer. Yeah, I'm abiding in Christ. I ask him to be my Lord. I ask him to be my Savior. No, you don't understand what abiding means, obviously. Abiding means dwelling. I abide with this woman. I don't abide with Deb. I love Deb. I love man. They're wonderful people, but I don't abide with them. I abide with her. I know her a whole lot better than I know this couple. You see, when you abide with somebody, you're going to know them. You're going to know whether they snore or not. You're going to know their bathroom habits. Come on. Right? You're going to know some things that you don't want to broadcast. And Tree was saying, that's right. Now, let's get on with this sermon. When you abide with someone, you know them intimately. You are lingering together. You're having mealtimes with Jesus. You know his heart. You know when you've saddened him. Without him saying a word, you know. You know when you grieve the Holy Spirit. Why? Because you've been abiding with him. When you abide with him and his words abide in you. And I believe that's the part that we've missed. In other words, I don't talk about what Eric wants. I talk about what the Holy Ghost wants. He is more important to me than what this guy thinks. Is what does he think? Where do you want this church to go, Jesus? It's not this man that's directed it. It's this God that's directed it. It's up to us to get the mind of Christ. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, my word, which says, greater is he that's in me. It says the wealth of the wicked is stored up for the righteous and there can be a transfer. It says things that by your stripes we are healed. So instead of opening the door to Satan and saying, you got the flu bug? Come on in. Come on, guys. When can we start shutting the door to some things? When can we say, when the devil comes a knocking at your door, say, no, thank you. I don't want it. I veto that in Jesus' name. I don't think I have to get every sickness that comes to Paris. Why? Because I've been abiding in him and his word is abiding in me. You preaching, pastor, that you'll never get sick? No, sir, I'm not preaching that. But I am preaching you don't have to get all of it. You don't have to get all of it. And when you do get something, he is there to help you overcome it. John chapter 1, verse 12, he says, I give you the right. I give you the authority to become a child of God. You want to know who you are? You want to know your identity? Your son. You see, there's two words that talk about the authority of God in the Bible. One of them is two Greek words. One of them is dunamis, and that means power. But the other one is a word I can't pronounce. Exousia or something. It's the right. It's the right. You see, the difference in authority and power is when a cop, a 150-pound man, goes out in his uniform and stands in the middle of the street, and here comes barreling down a semi-truck, and that cop does this, and that semi-truck stops. Why? Because that little 150-pound cop's got the power to stop that semi? I don't think so. He don't have the power, he's got the authority. The state of Tennessee and the city of Paris says, we authorize you as a policeman. When you throw your hand up, it's not a mere man saying stop. It's the state of Tennessee. And if we have to bring the Tennessee National Guard in here to back you up, we'll do it. Are you getting this? He gave me the authority. He gave me the authority to be a son of God. And if I had to bring every angel in heaven to Paris, Tennessee, to back up the word that you're standing on, I will do it. I'm not a man that I should lie. When he tells you something, it's truth. When you read your word and all of a sudden there's something that just jumps out at you, you know that's the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is just saying, hey, you need this. You may not understand it right now, but you're going to need this. Now put it in your heart, because there's a day coming. You're preparing for a battle when you don't have a battle. Right now, get it in your heart, so one day you're going to stand on this word. You're going to tell Satan, take a U-turn, buddy. You ain't coming to this house. That's authority. And that's the authority that he has given us. Acts 1:8 says that when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, you shall receive power. Can I say, we get them both. Hallelujah. We got authority, but we got dunamis. We got the power of God working in us too. Luke chapter 10 verse 19. Jesus looked at his disciples. He says, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions. That does not mean that we are going out looking for those scorpions and serpents. We don't have no little box under the altar where we're going to try this one out. But I do believe this, that one day Peter, a viper, come out of a fire and bit him. And everybody was looking at him thinking, that guy's going to die in about 10 seconds. And he goes, let's continue on our day. And then they thought he was a god. Because, buddy, you ought to be dead. We saw it bite you. See, I don't believe that we tempt God by going out and getting a rattler. But if the rattler bites you, you stand in faith. And call 911. Get to the hospital immediately. But you quote that scripture all the way there. Thank you, Jesus. I have power. Help me, help me, help me. Let's not get stupid about it. Right? I meet Christians all the time and says, oh, I don't know if I ought to take my medicine. What? What's wrong with you? All authority, all wisdom comes from the throne. That's the way God heals us, is he uses doctors. Does he have to? No. You know, I found that the body of Christ had a lot more faith before they had insurance. I'm serious. We have insurance now. We don't need as much faith. What if the day comes when we don't have insurance? You'll find the body of Christ begin to speak the word again. One day Peter and John was walking to the synagogue. This little guy, am I running late? Thank you. This little guy, crippled, he said, hey, can you help me? He's out there begging. We'll work for food. But I can't work. How many times have we seen that sign? Hey, can you help me? Peter looked at him. He said, silver and gold I have not. But such as I have. What did he have? He had authority. Ooh. Such as I have. See, I can help you with lunch. Or I can help you change your life. Such as I have. What do you got? Come on, ask yourself, what do I have? You have the backing of heaven. You have the backing of heaven. You have the word of God. Listen to me real close. I'm going to close. If you want to continue to be a victim, go ahead. But it's on you. It's not on me. And it's not on him. And I don't know about you, but I don't see anything good about being a victim the rest of your life. Can we stand and say, I've got the power and the authority, listen, to change? You don't understand, Pastor. I'm a red-headed Irish. We all have bad tempers. Pastor, you don't understand. My whole family's fat. Pastor, you don't understand. My whole family's crooked. We're all a bunch of thieves and liars. Maybe you're the one that doesn't understand. You have the power. I give you the right to become the Son of God. You don't need a man to tell you your identity. He already told it to you. You're the Son of God. You have the right. You have the power to change your life. Now, some of you won't like that. Some of you say, Pastor, you sound like you're getting ready to write a book. No, I'm not going to write a book. The book's been written. You have the power to change your life. You listen to me? You have the power to change your life. Say, Pastor, aren't you saying that wrong? You mean Jesus can change your life? Listen to me. You have the power to change your life. You! You! Change your words. Change your life. Ephesians 3:20 says, I will do exceedingly abundantly above all you ask or think according to the power in you. Change your words. You have authority to see a change in your life. Stand with me. Well, that sermon didn't go anything like I expected. You want to change? Come down here. I don't care what your change is. You want to change? Come down here. We're going to end in prayer. But I want God to take notice right now. I want God to take notice. God, I'm looking for a change in my life. It may be a healing change. It may be an emotional scar that you need God to heal. It may be that I need hope for the future. It may be that I'm saying I'm sick of being poor. I'm believing God to take me out of this poverty. I don't know what yours is. All I know is He's well able. He is well able. You hear me? He's well able. Yeah, we know that one. We know He's well able. Let me tell you this one. He's willing. You don't have to beg God to do anything. He's willing. He says in His Word, it's my delight. It is my delight to heal you, to answer your prayer. You don't have to beg God. You're His son. My sons don't come to me begging. They say, Dad, I need. And I say, how much? Ask your mom. And the Holy Ghost says, I'm here. I'll do whatever. You have the right. You're a son. I don't know what you're here for. All I know is the Holy Ghost showed up today. The Holy Ghost preached a sermon that I wasn't expecting. Close your eyes. As you close your eyes, raise your eyes of faith to heaven. Jesus, You are the author and the perfecter of our faith. Father, I have not spoken a word that's untrue. I have spoken the very words of life to this congregation. And they have heard these words. And right now, before the throne, there's a bunch of petitions getting ready to be made known to You. As they lift their voices, as they begin to ask for whatever they need. Lord, whatever it takes, move heaven and move earth if You have to. But I pray, Lord Jesus, we claim this in the kingdom. We speak life by the power of our tongue. I speak life into my life. I am not a victim any longer. I am a victor in Christ. My identity is a son of God. I am Your child. I bless Your name, Jesus. Now I ask You to heal these bodies. Lord, we've been struggling with a lot of things. There are people here that are living in pain constantly, Lord. I ask you, Lord Jesus, according to the Word of God, you said you sent your Word and you healed them. I'm asking right now for the virtue of the flow of God as we release our faith to believe. Be healed in Jesus' name. Now you that have had a demonic spirit speaking into your head, listen to me, there's somebody here that a demonic spirit has been plaguing you, I think for years. He has been telling you what a loser you are. He's been telling you all the things that you cannot do. And Jesus looked at that demonic spirit and he said, get out of her. Now you look at yourself and you look at that demonic spirit that's been hanging on your head and you tell that demonic spirit to get out. You are covered under the blood of Christ. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in this world. Demonic spirit of infirmity, demonic spirit of divorce, demonic spirit of cheating and lying, I cast you out in Jesus' name. These people are free in Jesus' name. Because we're sons of a King, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Now let's give him praise. Hallelujah. Father, we worship you. We bless your name. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Hallelujah. We are people of high expectation. We believe you, Lord. We believe you, Lord. We believe you, Lord. Hallelujah. Holy is the Lord. Righteous altogether. Greater is he that's in me than he that is in this world. I'm a conqueror. I'm more than a conqueror. I'm going on. I'm not dying. I'm living in Jesus' name. Oh, I'm not dying. I'm living in Jesus. Come on. Ah, the Spirit of God just spoke that to somebody. I'm not dying. I'm living in Jesus' name. I declare it. Life is coming from my lips. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm a conqueror. Hallelujah. Because I have authority. I have the power. So don't you think it's strange when people look at you like they looked at Jesus and they say, he doesn't act like the rest of us around here. Where'd he get that authority? Straight from the throne. Amen. Where's my brother Denny at? Is he around? Brother Denny, you want to come in with a blessing? God bless you folks. Hey, listen. This was more than a sermon. I don't know if you got that. I got it as I was preaching it. I thought, dear Jesus, what are you doing? It's more than a sermon. This is to change your life. This will change your life. Amen.